Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in the Book of Korean Folklore, written down by W.E. Griffiths. Pear Blossom is a nice girl, but after her mother dies, her father remarries and it becomes a Cinderella story. Okay, let's begin. Pear Blossom had been the name of a little Korean maid who was suddenly left motherless. When her father, Gangwa, who was a magistrate high in office, married again, he took for his wife a proud widow, whose daughter, born to Gangwa, was named Violet. Mother and daughter hated housework and made Pear Blossom clean the rice, cook the food, and attend to the fire in the kitchen. They were hateful in their treatment of Pear Blossom, and besides never speaking a kind word, called her Pigling, or Little Pig, which made the girl weep often. It did no good to complain to her father, for he was always busy. He smoked his yard-long pipe and played checkers hour by hour, apparently caring more about having his great white coat properly starched and lustered than for his daughter to be happy. His linen had to be beaten with a laundry club until it glistened like the hoar frost, and, except his wide-brimmed black horsehair hat, he looked immaculately white when he went out of the house to the government office. Poor Pigling had to perform this task of washing, starching, and glossing, in addition to her kitchen work, and to the rat-a-tat-tat of her laundry stick was often heard in the outer room till after midnight, when her heartless stepsister and mother had been long asleep. There was to be a great festival in the city, and for many days preparations were made in the house to get the father ready in his best robe and hat, and the women in their finery to go out and see the king in the royal procession. Poor Pigling wanted very much to have a look at the pageant, but the cruel stepmother, setting before her a huge straw bag of unhulled rice and a big cracked water jar, told her she must husk all the rice and, drawing water from the well, fill the crock to the brim before she dared to go out onto the street. What a task to hull with her fingers 3 bushels of rice and fill up a leaky vessel! Pigling wept bitterly. How could it ever be done? While she was brooding thus and opening the straw bag to begin spreading the rice out on the mats, she heard a whirr and a rush of wings, and down came a flock of pigeons. First they lighted on her head and shoulders, and then hopping to the floor began diligently with beak and claw, and in a few minutes the rice lay in a heap, clean, white, and glistening, while their pink toes pulled away the hulls and put these in a separate pile. Then, after a great chattering and cooing, the flock was off and away. Pigling was so amazed at this wonderful work of the birds that she scarcely knew how to be thankful enough. But alas, there was still the cracked pot to be filled. Just as she took hold of the bucket to begin, there crawled out of the fire hole a sooty black imp named Tokibi.
"Don't cry," he squeaked out. "I'll mend the broken part and fill the big jar for you."
Forthwith he stopped up the crack with clay, and pouring dozens of buckets of water from the well into the crock, it was filled to the brim and the water spilled over on all sides. Then Tokibi the imp bowed and crawled into the flues again before the astonished girl could thank her helper. So Pigling had time to dress in her plain but clean clothes that were snow white. She went off and saw the royal banners and the king's grand procession of thousands of loyal men. The next time, the stepmother and her favorite daughter planned a picnic on the mountain. So the refreshments were prepared, and Pigling had to work hard in starching their dresses to be worn, jackets, long skirts, belts, sashes, and whatnot, until she nearly dropped with fatigue. Yet instead of thanking and cheering her, the cruel stepmother told Pigling she must not go out until she had hoed all the weeds out of the garden and pulled up all the grass between the stones of the walk. Again, the poor girl's face was wet with tears. She was left at home alone while the others went off in fine clothes, with plenty to eat and drink for a day of merrymaking. While weeping thus, a huge black cow came along, and out of its great liquid eyes seemed to beam compassion upon the kitchen slave. Then, in 10 mouthfuls, the animal ate up the weeds and, between its hoofs and lips, soon made an end of all the grass in the stone pathway. With her tears dried, Pigling followed this wonderful brute out over the meadows and into the woods, where she found the most delicious fruit her eyes have ever rested upon. She tasted and enjoyed, feasting to the full and then returning home. When the jealous stepsister had heard of the astonishing doings of the black cow, she determined to enjoy a feast in the forest also. So on the next gala day, she stayed home and let the kitchen drudge go to see the royal parade. Pigling could not understand why she was excused, even for a few hours, from the pots and kettles, but she was still more surprised by the gift from her stepmother of a rope of cash to spend for dainties. Gratefully thanking the woman, she put on her best clothes and was soon on the main street of the city, enjoying the gay sights and looking at the happy people. There was tightrope dancing, music with drum and flute by bands of strolling players, tricks by conjurers and mountebanks, with mimicking and castanets, posturing by the singing girls, and fun of all sorts. Boys peddling honey candy, barley sugar, and sweetmeats were out by the dozen. At the eating house, Pigling had a good dinner of fried fish, boiled rice with red peppers, turnips, dried persimmons, roasted chestnuts, and candied orange, and felt as happy as a queen. The selfish stepsister had stayed home, not to relieve Pigling of work, but to see the wonderful cow. So, when the black animal appeared and found its friend gone, and with nothing to do, it went off into the forest. The stepsister at once followed the tracks of the cow, but the animal took in its head to go very fast and into unpleasant places. Soon the girl found herself in a swamp, wet, miry, and full of brambles. Still hoping for the wonderful fruit, she kept on until she was tired out and the cow was no longer to be seen. Then, muddy and bedraggled, she tried to go back, but the thorny bushes tore her clothes, spoiled her hands, and so scratched her face that when at last, nearly dead, she got home, she was in rags and her beauty was gone. But Pigling, rosy and round, looked so lovely that a young man from the south of a good family and at that time visiting the capital was struck with her beauty, and as he wanted a wife, he immediately sought to find out where she lived. Then he secured a go-between who visited both families and made all the arrangements for the betrothal and marriage. Grand was the wedding. The groom, Su-won, was dressed in white and black silk robes, with a rich horsehair cap and a headdress denoting his rank as a yangban, or gentleman. On his breast, crossed by a silver-studded girdle, was a golden square embroidered with the flying cranes rising above the waves, the symbols of civil office. He was tall, handsome, richly cultured, and quite famous as a writer of verses, besides being well-read in the classics. Charming indeed looked Pear Blossom, as she was now called again, in her robe of brocade, and long undersleeves which extended from her inner dress of snow-white silk. Dainty were her red kid shoes, curved upwards at the toes. With a baldric of open-worked silver, a high-waisted long skirt, with several linings of her inner silk robes showing prettily at the neck, and silver bridal ring on her finger, she looked as lovely as a princess. Besides her bridal dower, her father asked Pear Blossom what she preferred as a special present. When she told him, he laughed heartily. Nevertheless, he filled her wishes, and to this day, in the boudoir of Pear Blossom, now married to Su-won, there stands an earthen figure of a black cow, molded and baked from clay from her home province, while the pigeons like to hover about a pear tree that bursts into bloom every spring and sheds on the ground a snowy shower of fragrant petals. The end. Thank you. Wow, I really like how this mirrors the Cinderella story, but with very Korean themes. I didn't like calling her Pigling throughout the story, but it made sense at the end when her name was restored. Also, I had to change where it said her name was changed to Mrs. Suwon, because Korean women do not change their names when they get married. My wife is still Mrs. Kim and will be for the rest of her life. I also like that she asked her dad for a clay cow. Pretty interesting. The podcast shout-out is to the Book Nerd Diaries. If you like short podcasts based around books, this is a good one to check out. I learn about a lot of newer books that I would have never come across. The host, Amber, is a big book nerd, and I enjoy her reading list. And if you like her pod as much as I do, go give her a listen and a rating and a review. And the listener shout-out is to Louisville, Kentucky. Traditional homelands of the Osage, Shawnee, Hopewell, and other Native tribes, Louisville the city was named in honor of the French king because he was helping the rebelling colonies against the English. Louisville is also where 1/3 of all bourbon whiskey is made, so that was an interesting fact. Louisville is also where 1/3 of all my listens from Kentucky come from. So to my listeners in Louisville, I say thank you and good night.